Okay, Alexander, let's talk about Greece and Turkey and what's happening in the East Med, the Eastern Mediterranean. Now, there's two topics we could touch on. The first one is the fact that Turkey has sent ships back into the East Med to look for energy resources, and this has put everyone in the region on high alert, especially Greece, and you'll explain what the Greek moves were to counter the fact that Turkey has sent research vessels, which were accompanied by military vessels as well. And I think that's where the tension comes from. So you'll explain that side of the story. And the other part of the story that we need to discuss and touch upon is the fact that Greece has signed an agreement to outline their EEZ. It signed that agreement with Egypt, and that is significant. Greece has hammered out an agreement with Italy. Now they've hammered it out with Egypt. This is, in my opinion, a great move, an interesting development. It's put Turkey on the back foot, and it may explain what's happening now with the Turkish research vessel, which I also just want to explain quickly. There was a row about a week and a half ago of a Turkish research vessel in the Mediterranean. It ended up pulling back and going back to port after the Greeks issued various warnings and made some moves to position their own ships in that area. So, Alexander, two stories covering Greece and Turkey and the Eastern Mediterranean.
Well, of course, in reality, they are one story because what we are now seeing is Turkey, or rather President Erdogan of Turkey, taking very aggressive moves to try to expand Turkish influence in the Eastern Mediterranean. And the Greeks, who are on the front line of all of this, because it is their islands, the Greece's islands, which are very close to the Turkish coast for long, deep historical reasons, they're now finding themselves having to react. One way that they are reacting is by positioning, as you said, their own ships close to these Turkish ships. They're keeping careful watch on what the Turks are doing. They're making it very clear that what the Turks are doing is completely wrong and illegal, and they're threatening legal moves against it. But they're also strengthening both their diplomatic and their legal position by agreeing the boundaries of their EEZ with Egypt. Now, what that does is that, of course, it consolidates the de facto alliance that there now is between Greece and Egypt. Egypt being a major military power in this region, with difficult relations with Turkey, difficult relations between Turkey because Turkey was the former colonial power in Egypt, and the Egyptians have long-standing feelings about that. But they're also, rivals now for influence in Libya, in the Libyan civil war. But also, Egypt and Greece have good historic relations. So Greece has now built up, consolidated that friendship with Egypt. But by getting Egypt to agree an EEZ with Greece, it also does something else. It shows that Greece is following the path of legality. It gives credence to Greek arguments that they are acting legally and that the Turks are not. Now, that seems to me to be indisputable, actually, on the facts. But by agreeing an EEZ with Egypt, you actually give a further impression that you're acting in a legal way and you're getting a very strong power in the Eastern Mediterranean to agree with you. Now, that's the Greek side. Why is Erdogan doing it? He is constantly probing and he plays a game of cat and mouse. We've discussed this many times. So he sends a ship in, the Greeks sent their ships to keep an eye on it. He pulls back, he comes under diplomatic pressure. That seems to soften. The diplomatic pressure from Europe seems to soften. So what he does is he comes back. He's back. He sends his ships in again. He's drilling ships. supposedly looking for oil and gas. Maybe they are to some extent, but nobody should be in any doubt about this. This is not primarily now about looking for oil and gas. It is about staking claims in the East Mediterranean Sea. And that's what he is doing. And he does so in the knowledge that Greece, though it may have Egypt at its back, there is behind it the European Union, which is a lot less strong in its support of Greece. So this is the game that Erdogan is playing with Greece. Greece has enlisted a powerful ally in the form of Egypt. The European Union has yet to come to Greece's support for many reasons, which of course we're going to touch on now. But that's really what this is all about.
I completely agree with your analysis. Actually, that was going to be my question to you and my comment to you. Greece is working with the European Union, as they always do. They fall back on the European Union to condemn Turkey's actions, to impose sanctions, blah, blah, blah. This is the same story that Greece always falls a victim to. Yeah. Fine, that's to be expected. We know the EU isn't going to do anything.
Exactly.
They're toothless, weak, spineless.
Yes.
We know they're not going to go against Turkey.
No.
But maybe France might.
Yes.
Maybe Italy might take a stance because Greece has signed an EEZ with Italy. Maybe. I don't think so, but maybe. But definitely France could be an EU power that may do something. And I say may. But isn't it correct to say that Greece and Mitsotakis are making an excellent move by aligning with Egypt? Greece and Egypt have very close brotherly relations. They're two countries that get along very well. They're natural allies, and they have a natural adversary in Turkey. Now, the second part of my question to you is, when you look at Erdogan's moves, as you say, he's constantly probing. If this was a game of chess, Erdogan, I think, made his big move by creating this fake EEZ with Libya. I don't think he had any other hand to play, any other move to make. That was it. The only other move Erdogan has to play is a military move or a threat to Europe with migrants. I mean, those are the only two cards he has left. Those are the only two pieces he can move at this point, where I think Greece has a lot more moves that they can make and a lot more doors that they can close in on Erdogan if Mitsotakis does make the right moves. And Egypt was definitely one door that needed to be slammed on Turkey, and he did it. They have a lot more moves to make now. They have a lot more leverage than they think they do, Greece, a lot more.
Absolutely, of course they do. The Greeks have not always played their cards very well. I have to say this, Mitsotakis has been playing them better than some Greek leaders I can think of. I mean, he certainly plays them a lot better than Tsipras does, who was his predecessor. Tsipras was hopeless at this kind of thing.
I agree with that.
He'd make all kinds of, you know, blustering statements, and then he'd invariably back down because he wasn't really a strong leader. And besides, he wasn't even interested in this sort of thing at the end of the day. Mitsotakis takes it seriously. Now, what is Erdogan's strongest card? I don't think it's military action. I think even he realizes that starting a military conflict with Greece would provoke a very strong reaction from all sorts of powers. I think his biggest card is the migrant one. He's constantly playing this. He says, you know, if Europe doesn't do what I want, then I'm not going to act as your gatekeeper anymore. I will throw open the gates. I'll let you be flooded by migrants all over again. So you must, you know, give me what I want in the Eastern Mediterranean. And, you know, otherwise, there'll be terrible consequences for you. That's the sort of blackmail card that he plays all the time. I think the Germans are nervous about it. I think the French, who are further away, are not. Now, I think that this comes back directly to your question, which is that I think Greece should stop thinking about a pan-European response to this, because it's not going to happen. I mean, the Germans will never really stand up to Erdogan on these sort of questions. I think the French may. I think the French have issues with Erdogan personally. I mean, I don't think Macron and Erdogan get on at all well. But I think the French also have this aspiration of thinking of themselves as the major European power in the Eastern Mediterranean, acting as the protector of countries like Lebanon, which Macron has just visited, and Greece. And I think that this is perhaps a much more astute game to play. I think the Greeks are gradually beginning to understand this. So I think definitely, I completely agree with you, building up a good relationship with Egypt is a strong move and a good one and entirely the right one and a potential game changer. I think building up a good relationship with France is an excellent move. It needs more work. I think speaking to Moscow and Mitsotakis called...
I was going to ask Putin, you that too.
He called Putin a short while ago. I think that was also a good move, actually. I think that's still in a very, very early stage. But I think that the Greeks are moving, I hope that the Greeks are slowly beginning to move away from the idea that the Europeans will run to their rescue and understand that in order to try and hold the line against this constant probing that Erdogan gets up to, what they need to do is not talk to the Europeans, who are a broken reed, but to the strong regional powers, Egypt, France, and Russia. And if they do that, then their political and diplomatic position becomes very strong. I would add, by the way, that I completely agree with your analysis that this EEZ that Erdogan negotiated with Libya isn't worth, or at least the Libyan government that he controls isn't worth anything, frankly. I don't think anybody takes that seriously. And it is unenforceable because it is in coastal waters which are dominated by Greece, Egypt, and Italy, and ultimately France, and the Turkish Navy really wouldn't be able to operate there. So, I mean, that was just a piece of bluster and theater. I don't think it means anything at all. The reason it doesn't mean anything at all is because Greece, Egypt, and France have already rejected it. If it wasn't for the combination of these three, which Mitsotakis' diplomacy, to give the man credit where it's due, have brought together, then it would be a different story. But clearly, what you need to do with Erdogan is you need to take a very firm line. You need to call his bluff, because I think the story about, you know, flooding Europe with migrants is bluff. You need to stop thinking that you can depend on Berlin, because Berlin and the Europeans aren't going to do anything for you. And you've got to build up your relations with the regional powers. Egypt, that's been done. France, it's been done to a great degree. The Greeks have now finally started to talk to the Russians.
I completely agree with you there. Final quick question. And I'll phrase this in a very simple manner. Do you think the Greeks will convince Putin and Russia to finally deal with Turkey and Erdogan's erratic behavior? And it's affected Russia as well. Erdogan's erratic behavior has affected Russia in Syria and in other areas as well, where they're dealing with, shooting down planes or ambassadors. We've gone over this. Will the Greeks make any headway with Russia when it comes to Turkey? My opinion on this, and I'll reiterate it again, I think Putin has shown over the years great weakness towards Erdogan. That's my own opinion. If there's one leader that I think Putin has shown weakness towards, it's Erdogan.
I think the answer is that the Russians are persuadable. I mean, I don't think the Russians would want to break with Erdogan completely. But then I don't think Erdogan wants to break with the Russians. So I think that the Russians actually have a great deal of leverage over Erdogan if they are persuaded to apply it. Now, there are issues in Russia. I mean, I'm not familiar with the internal workings of the Kremlin, but people like John Helmer say that there is a strong pro-Turkish faction within the Kremlin, that the defense minister Sergei Shoigu and the Putin's spokesman Dmitry Peskov, who was a diplomat posted to Ankara and who speaks Turkish, are a pro-Turkish lobby within the Kremlin. I don't know to what truth there is in that. But I think that ultimately Moscow's interests are served by keeping Erdogan in his box. In other words, you maintain a good, you maintain a certain relationship with him, but you don't constantly appease him, because what happens is, if you appease him all the time, he comes back for more. That's what he always does. So I think if this is pointed out to them, I think there are people in Moscow, the foreign minister Lavrov, for example, who is apparently much more skeptical of Turkey and of Erdogan. I think there are people who would listen, and I think they might be able to, you know, persuade the Kremlin, which is a lot more than just Putin, by the way, you know, to start shifting policy here. The Russians have got a lot out of their relationship with Turkey. They've helped, they've built Turk Stream. They've largely pacified Syria. But these are dumb things. If you look at this in a cold-blooded way, they don't need Turkey as much anymore.
Yeah. I'll just give you some pushback on that. Yeah, they pacified Syria, but it was Turkey that uprooted Syria.
Yeah, absolutely.
Russia and Turkey and Syria is a very strange relationship, because it's Turkey that was causing a lot of the problems for Syria and for Russia to begin with.
And shooting down Russian planes for what?
Shooting down Russian planes, the ambassador, you know, what Erdogan did in Ukraine and going against Russia and Ukraine.
And Crimea.
Not that the Greeks are innocent in antagonizing Russia, but those were mistakes of Tsipras, and those were the mistakes of the church.
Yes.
And I think maybe the church can be a way in.
Yes.
Lobbying the church in Russia, the Russian Orthodox Church, may be a way in.
Well, indeed.
Get some leverage over the Kremlin and their thoughts on their alliance with Turkey.
Well, there's a lot of goodwill towards Greece in Russia. I mean, a lot of Russians feel goodwill towards Greece, and including very influential Russians. So, I mean, that's always important to bear in mind. There's obviously there's the Orthodox connection. There's a cultural connection. There's a feeling that, you know, Greece and Russia have been friends and allies and have fought many wars together, that the Russians were instrumental in liberating Greece from Turkey. So there is that long historic connection going back centuries. So you can certainly build on that. I think I've always felt myself that this friendship between Turkey and Russia that we've seen under Erdogan is a momentary thing anyway. It's a transitional thing, because I don't think that Turkey is ever going to align with Russia. I think this is a fantasy that some people have. I've never really believed it.
So I think
the Russians have got a lot out of their relationship with Erdogan, but I think they're now into the law of diminishing returns from there. He's now in a position where he's demanding more and more from them and giving them less and less. And even in Syria, I mean, there was a time, you know, when Aleppo was under siege and Assad was holed up in his palace in Damascus, and the insurgents were only a few hundred meters away, when, as I said, getting the Turks to cooperate made a difference. But now the Turks are a problem in Syria. They're not a solution. I mean, there was that deal done at the beginning of this year over Idlib, if you remember, and it's still not really working, and the Turks are still trying to dig into Idlib. So the Turks are preventing the final achievement of peace in Syria. So it's very much, it seems to me now, the law of diminishing returns. And I think there are people in Moscow who understand it. And I think Lavrov, the foreign minister, is certainly one of them.
Yeah. All right. We'll leave it there. Alexander Mercurius, editor-in-chief of the Durand. Thank you very much, guys. If you like this video, click on the subscribe button down below. Smash that like, drop us a comment. Also, please donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar. Your donation really helps us out a whole lot. It helps this small channel report news from all over the world, even the Eastern Mediterranean, where I am located right now. And also go to the Durand Shop, pick up some magic mugs, pick up some magic hats, new magic hats as well.
Indeed, we've both got Greece. But you've got the big mug, I've got the small one. So that's 15 ounces there. If you prefer, you know, if you want to do a Greek coffee, then perhaps the smaller mug is better. So you can get all these wonderful mugs there. And by the way, we're also talking about Russia. We've also got a small mug for Russia there too, as you can see. So that was one country we've been talking about. I think we've also got one for France, but and perhaps Egypt in time. But you can certainly find them on our shop. So all of these countries that we've been talking about today, you can find our mugs in our shop. And more mugs are coming all the time. And if you don't see the flag of your country, just wait a little and it will probably come. And if you wait a little and it still hasn't come, well, just drop us a line and we can see what we can do to help. And as Alex rightly says, we've got other amazing things in our shop. We've got a huge new gallery of shirts, amazing shirts. You see, Alex is wearing one of them with the flag of Canada there. I think it's Canada. Canada, absolutely. We know.
Where there is a Greek, there's a very large Greek town in Toronto.
Absolutely, there is. And indeed, Greeks, by the way, have tremendously warm feelings for Canada, for good reasons. I mean, Canada sent lots of supplies to Greece during the war when there was a great famine in Greece. So just saying to our Canadian friends, but you'll find other countries too. And they're, as I've said many times, absolutely great and wonderful shirts. And you'll find our ebooks, our ever-expanding gallery of ebooks, and you'll find hats, hoodies, and stickers, and amazing new hats, as Alex says. And to remind you again of the point that Alex was making, we are a small channel. We depend on your support and your help to keep us going. You come to our shop, you give us that support at the same time as you become the owner of these great things. So support the Durand, come to our shop. Be the owner of these great things, and Alex will tell you quickly how to do it.
Just go to thedurantshop.com. You'll find the link in the description box down below. Alexander Mercuris, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.